T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues for one more hour. Then at midnight, we have the replay of the first couple hours, which I think will be a fun replay tonight. We had some good couple hours there. But we got another hour together, and the phone number is the same at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There was a Veterans Day article from Fox 2, and they did a profile on one of the local organizations in town that helps when it comes to volunteering for home repairs, and in this case, home repairs for veterans on Veterans Day. And the organization is called Rebuilding Together. It seems like a great organization. I wasn't familiar with them. They seem somewhat new, but when I went online, it looks like they have a lot of support from the community. They have a lot of grants and pretty big corporations that are pitching in to help. And I thought that Fox, too, the way they put this together, they did a good job.
We are a family of veterans.
Cornelius Browley's father is a World War II veteran. He wasn't feeling well when the volunteers came to repair the home he's lived in since 1958. His son, grateful for the help.
Yeah, they did the rails, they did the ceiling, they did the bathrooms. They cleaned out the basement for us. It was just a godsend. And it makes us happy and so proud to be veterans and veterans of the United States of America. Mm-hmm.
Dozens of volunteers painted, laid flooring, and even delivered a fridge for Mr. Browley.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, so the house was built in 1958. And I guess it depends. Some homes have been well-maintained over the years, and sometimes things get to the wayside. But if you're a World War II veteran and you're up there in age, and sure, you may have some family members, some sons or daughters in the area that could pitch in and help. But if they don't have the expertise on how to put new floor or do this or do that, or sometimes they just say, oh, no, it's just okay. Or, you know, sometimes you find with that generation, they say, oh, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. They're fine with the way it is, but really they could use a little extra hand. And that's why organizations like Rebuilding Together are so important, because when an organization comes in and does it, they can just nail all these things out as fast as they can, and the person doesn't feel as bad about it, and it's just, it's a good combination.
This morning we showed up and were notified that the refrigerator had stopped working, I believe, 2 or 3 days ago. We made some phone calls and had a refrigerator delivered here within about an hour.
It was all hands on deck across St. Louis.
We are out doing 4 homes today.
Wow.
And we are working on 4 veteran homes today.
Oh, that's so cool.
In the city, as well as North County and in University City.
I think that is just so fantastic. Fantastic that they're doing this. And some people have that sort of ability where they want to volunteer their time and they want to be able to volunteer something they're skilled at doing. And, you know, they show some of the volunteers and they're just painting, like, okay, we're going to repaint this because it's, you know, maybe needs a fresh coat of paint. And you don't need a lot of expertise or something like that. Now, if you're going to lay some flooring down, you might need to have a little experience so you do it right so it doesn't, you know, buckle or something comes loose 6 months later because you did it wrong. Or if you're doing anything a little bit even more than that, you might need a little bit of muscle if you're moving a refrigerator in. So, yeah, there's some things, and I'm sure there's some people have that sort of ability. I, for one, feel like I'm always working certain things around the house. I'm always trying to maintain and keep things up. And I know that there's a lot of other people like that, but you get to a certain point, you're like, man, I don't know how anyone 90 years old could do anything like this anymore, right? And then there's a lot of them that are still living alone. You think World War II veterans, they're well north of 90. That could be 95 years old. The fact that he's living alone in his house that he purchased in 1958 is so unbelievably admirable. It is so cool and so awesome that they have that ability where he gets to keep that house. Because at that age, it's so hard. Anything can happen. And there's got to be worries from their kids. And this has to probably help their worries, too, to think, They don't have to worry about that as much now that they fixed the floor and they got a new fridge.
Rebuilding Together helps seniors, veterans, and people with disabilities. Today, the focus was on our veterans. In 25 years, the program has helped nearly 3,000 families.
Wow.
Just to see the smile on their face and the impact that we're making makes us feel good.
Giving back to those who gave it all.
I'm trying to be macho and not cry. It validates your reason for serving. It validates. Oh. It makes you proud again to be an American.
Oh, that is so awesome. I didn't realize the organization was here for 25 years. Just doing a little bit of research online, it seemed like they were a newer organization, but that would make sense given all the corporation support that they have in the area. So big bravo to Rebuilding Together. I think they did an excellent job, and I'm glad Fox, too, decided to highlight them. There's a couple of things I noticed in California going on. in talking about building and maintaining, I talk about tiny homes all the time. Well, not all the time. I've talked about them on the show multiple times. But there's a big push in California because that's the only affordable housing that's left. No one can afford to buy homes out there. You can have a full-time job making 80 grand a year, and you may be thinking, if you were making 80 grand here in St. Louis, you'd be doing pretty good. You'd be living very comfortably. I mean, you can go out and get anything you want when you want it, right? You can eat out every night. Oh, nice home, nice car, nice dog, nice everything. You'd have it all in St. Louis. California, you can't afford to live on 80 grand. It's so ridiculous. In these big metropolitan areas. So tiny homes is where they're turning to. And I kind of have a mixed feeling about them because I think that I don't like them, right? But there's something happening behind the scenes with these tiny homes. It's actually teaching people that have never had the want to build anything with their hands to actually build something. And then they get to learn about home improvement that way. Wow, that's a valuable skill they're learning. So I feel like maybe that's the way to turn things around. But something else is happening in California. I saw a story, I think it was San Francisco. A new prosecutor's in town. You know what that means? We'll talk about that too on Overnight America KMOX.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Dokie, thank you for hanging out with us here tonight on Overnight America. And I would love for you to leave a nice review online if you have a podcasting app on your smartphone. Oh, wait, you do. They all come with a smartphone app. Or maybe you have the radio.com app. Leave us a positive review. If you have an Apple iPhone, that really helps. If you search Overnight America, click the review button and leave us a nice 5-star review. It really, really, really helps. All right, so here's a couple of things going on in California. The cost of living is through the roof. It's way too expensive in California. Every time you turn around on HGTV, there's a couple in California that are going through and trying to find the right house. And it makes you laugh at your television when they say, here's what our budget is. We have $1.2 million. And then the realtor says, well, in this neighborhood, you can afford a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, a 1,200 square foot house on 1/20th of an acre. You know, it's ridiculous. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's a really good deal, they say. And then they go into the property and it's all beat up. And they're like, oh, what'd you expect? Yeah, it's all beat up here. What did you expect for only $1.5 million or $1.2 million? It's so stupid. And there's no wonder why people are trying to find alternate ways of housing because it's just so ridiculous. Enter CBS2 in Los Angeles, and they're talking about cheap options for you.
Oh, hi.
Hi, sorry. Welcome. Anyone
hi.
Else?
I already hate them. Hi. Anyone that says hi like that, I don't like you. Hi. I don't think we could be friends.
Hi. Welcome.
I don't think we could be friends. Sorry.
Welcome. Anyone else?
It's a Thursday evening in El Sereno, and a crowd has lined up to get inside.
This is my experiment in design.
The draw? This.
All right, so what they're showing is what looks like not even a shed. It's a storage container.
84 square feet that could offer hints about the future of affordable housing.
84 square foot. You've seen those different pods that they advertise if you've ever moved from one location to another. Oh, get a pod dropped off in your garage or in your driveway. Move everything in. We'll move it from point A to point B. It's super expensive way to travel, but it's very convenient. It looks like a pod that he decided to retrofit the inside to look like an apartment or a clubhouse.
Get yourself in there.
Moments before the crowd turned up, architect Caleb Quesada gave us a quick once-over.
Your kitchen, it's here. Dining room.
The bedroom.
You have to close your dining room.
Just as Caleb.
I love it. So the whole, it's 82 square feet, 84 square feet, whatever it is. It's all just one small space, and basically he's pulling things out of the wall. So here's your kitchen, and he's like pulling something off the wall, and he's folding it back in. Here's your living room, and he's like pulling something off the wall, and he can reach everything. If you stand in the middle of this thing, there's not one spot you can't touch in this little area. And then he pulls the bed out, slides out. Oh, here's your bed. You know, they got to do some maneuvering. And basically on one side of this pod, it's just a sliding glass door. And he's got a little curtain for privacy. So, you know, you can't really put a door there. There's not a lot of space. So there's a sliding door.
Started to show us how he converts his living room / dining room into a bedroom.
To me, that really says you've made it in life. When your living room is your dining room, is your bathroom.
Are you good?
Dozens showed up, hoping to glean tips on how to build their own tiny homes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Step into your shower.
For us, like...
Your shower is your kitchen, is your living room, is your bedroom. It's all right there.
Like, the tiny house offers hope.
Teresa Baker is co-founder of Latch Collective, a group devoted to making it easier to make a go of living tiny.
Everyone that I know cannot afford to buy a house in Los Angeles, which is why they're looking at options.
And the heightened interest has sparked a tidal wave of tiny home innovation and a booming industry of tiny home builders.
Yeah. Now, the booming industry of tiny home builders, people prefer to build their own tiny home, which actually is pretty cool. And the reason for that, I believe, it's kind of turning a different generation on to learning how to build things again. Not a lot of people my age or younger take the time to learn how to do anything. When I was growing up, my dad did all the home repairs. He knew how to do all the things, and I paid zero attention to it. When I became older and more responsible and cheaper, I became super cheap. Right now, if I can handle it, if I think I can do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to call someone else to do it. If I call someone else to help me, it's a pretty big deal, right? Like, there must be something that is very difficult or needs some expertise. But I do it all myself. And part of doing it all myself is sometimes FaceTiming my dad, and he'll tell me how to walk through things. And then I gain a little bit of knowledge about how something works or how to do something correctly. And then you know how to fix it in the future. It's a big, important thing. Not a lot of people I find my age do that anymore. People just, they skip that step. They'll call someone. Oh, it's just easier to call someone, have someone else do it. Yeah, it's easier, but isn't it better to learn how something works and how to do it? Yeah, I believe it is nicer and better to do it that way. Well, if there's another generation growing up and they're actually taking that effort to learn how to build a tiny home, you have to build everything inside those things. I mean, you have to know how to hang the walls. You need to know how to frame it properly. You need to know how to electrical, the very limited plumbing, even though it's very limited, but you're still learning. You're still learning how to do all these things. And you're putting designs, you're hanging cabinets, you're doing all these things. And all of a sudden, we have people that had no interest in this have a lot of interest in it. And now they know how to, they learn a very important skill. This is important. We've been told that it's just going to continue to get worse and people aren't going to want to use their hands and they're not going to want to build things for themselves. But here we are reverting back to it because of this little tiny home phenomenon that's going on. I mean, that to me is the silver lining to this all.
Whether your taste is sleek, quirky, or high-end luxury.
No, your taste is, you live in California, you got no money, y'all.
There's likely a builder who can cater to you. But like Caleb, Teresa is building her own.
I care a lot about my tiny home. I've seen it from the ground up, and when there's an issue, I know I'm going to fix it right away.
And if her career takes her to another city, she'll be able to take her home with her.
It's neat to have that.
Yeah, I guess you can hitch this thing out. Now, people do steal tiny homes. There was that situation here 2 years ago in St. Louis where someone just hitched up and You spend all this time, you spend months and months and months building this thing, and a lot of it has to do with you learning how to build. But, you know, you spend $20,000, $30,000 on these things, and someone comes up and steals them. And that's tough. That's terrible. Part of this, too, with the tiny home, that was CBS 2 in Los Angeles, is that they have different restrictions in different communities where you just can't put one of these things up, right? You don't want to have a bunch of these tiny homes on someone's lot in your neighborhood. And it, you don't have to live in an association for people to have to put some sort of protection up so you're not turning your front lawn into what looks like a campground, right? That's not good for anyone. And plus, I'm sure there's other regulations and sanitary reasons for that because you can't put this into plumbing. A lot of these tiny homes, you know what the bathroom is? It's a toilet seat over a bucket, and people sprinkle little pine over it, and so it doesn't smell when you do a number two. Yeah, that's their bathroom. And if they can get a hose hookup or whatever, because they don't have sewer on these things, right? There's not a collection tank like an RV. And a lot of times, too, when you take a shower, that's just you hooking up a garden hose off of someone else's hookup on the outside of their home, just because they'll allow it to happen. So you can see why cities would be a little hesitant to allow a property to build a bunch of these on their property. Now, in California, they're saying it's such a necessity right now, there's not any affordable housing available, that they're trying to pass, at least in San Francisco, legislation, or maybe not San Francisco, this is Los Angeles area, legislation where you're allowed to put one of these in the backyard, out of sight. You know, some people turn sheds into homes in California and call it temporary housing out there, quarters or whatever it may be. Let me mention this, too, in San Francisco. San Francisco's new district attorney, this is what he ran on and he won. His name is Sheza, C-H-E-S-A, Sheza Bowden, Sheza Bowden. Incoming district attorney pledged during the campaign not to prosecute. Now, here's some things that if we saw it on the streets of the city of St. Louis, you would be perfectly fine with the police intervening, okay? Public urination, offering or soliciting sex, public camping, blocking a sidewalk, all of these things he said will not be prosecuted in San Francisco. So if you want to, just drop your pants and go number one or number two right in the middle of the street outside of a dining patio in San Francisco. Or let's be honest, if you're in San Francisco, right next to a bunch of used needles, then by all means, the district attorney is not going to hassle you. Isn't this so ridiculous? He won. How would you? We have some of our own issues when it comes to prosecuting crimes in St. Louis. We have drug crimes. We have violent crimes. We have shootings. And we have a circuit attorney here that says, oh, no, we can't take on that case, even when you have a signed confession or a video confession. Oh, no, we can't take on that case. That's the problems we have in this area. At least you can't get away with public urination. Imagine you're going to a Cardinals game, and there they are just going at it right in the street. You would hope the police would intervene. But in San Francisco, they say, no, you're criminalizing being poor. So they're allowed to use the world as their toilet. Now, also, San Francisco is the one that had to hire street cleaning crews to come around and take all of the human feces off the street. It's just so rampant out there that they pay people, what is it, $115,000 a year to go around and clean up human feces? That's how much of a demand there is. High-paying job in San Francisco. Now, Bernie Sanders is all about this. Bernie Sanders says, now is the moment to fundamentally transform our racist and broken criminal justice system by ending mass incarceration and the failed war on drugs and the criminalization of poverty. Well, apparently it's racist to say you don't want people urinating on the streets. Oh, that's racist now. For some reason, you have to associate a color of the skin in order to say you don't like people using the ground as a toilet in a public area. There's pictures online. It's no joke. Pictures online. There's people outside drinking wine in these outdoor areas that these businesses spend a lot of money on because it's San Francisco and they got to look nice. And then there's just people just dropping their pants and using the ground as a toilet. And I'm trying to say this as delicately as possible. And I know it's 11:29 p.m. on a Monday night. And I know I probably don't have to be as delicate, but you get the idea. You're out there with your family, and someone starts going to the bathroom right in front of your kids. Police are being told by the district attorney, We're not going to prosecute. We're not going to take that person in. They're a lot, you just leave them alone. No, I don't think so. Prostitution? You can solicit sex prostitution on the streets of San Francisco anywhere you want, and you won't be prosecuted? I want you to talk to some of the people here in St. Louis and some of these other areas that have these issues. What do you think follows prostitutes around on the streets? What do you think you see? You see drug use. You also see violence, because it's not like we're finding that people going to the street to solicit these services are high-end and classy. They have other people following them around. There's money involved. There's probably drugs involved, because that could be one of the underlying issues of why they're doing it. And we see these different communities that prostitutes go out to, and they say, hey, at our public park, we see used condoms. We see syringes. We see drugs. We see trash everywhere. And think about the clientele that's brought to that area, too. This is no good. San Francisco says, oh, we're just not going to prosecute these things. Man, I hope the circuit attorney here isn't listening. I don't want her getting any ideas. This is so ridiculous. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America. Still, people are talking online about the meteor that just went across the skyline here in the city of St. Louis. About 8:55-ish is when it went through. About 8:55. And people are checking their digital doorbells to see if they caught a glimpse of it. A lot of people did. You see, I checked my doorbell, and I think that I missed it. I feel there was my wife may have popped on the doorbell because she might have heard it, but then she said, what's that sound? So she pops it on to take a look. I wish I would have caught this on our doorbell, but I don't think my house is facing the direction. In fact, I don't even know the direct path this went through, but so many people are talking about it. All the different newscasts, all of them had the footage right across the river looking towards downtown St. Louis and the Arch during that. Is it the Earth Cam? I forgot what it's called, but either way, it's so cool to see that meteor just streak with the arch right there in the background. It was a perfect view. I feel like that's going to be used forever. Let's see. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. I'm going to do this quick story. I saw this on KSDK, and I wanted to congratulate, what is this called? Clementine's Naughty and Nice Creamery is here in St. Louis. They were just awarded the best new ice cream flavor in the country. It's the gooey butter cake ice cream. Isn't that cool? I might have to try that. I watched the video there. I think it's weird because the company apparently infuses alcohol. I don't really know much about the company. But they did a story on it on KSDK, and they were highlighting the owner, who said, not a lot's been done in the world of ice cream over the years. In fact, since Dippin' Dots, there hasn't been really anything. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to guess Blizzard ice cream cake from Dairy Queen probably came out after, right? Dippin' Dots? Oh, that's so good. I can go for an ice cream cake anytime. In fact, I don't really need an occasion to get myself an ice cream cake. But I guess they might be right. There hasn't been a lot of change in the ice cream world. I'm just glad I'm here in St. Louis. There's so many great food options. Oh, it's so good. I've lived here for 2.5 years, and there's some just absolutely fantastic places that I go, and I know I'm going to love it. And I spent the weekend visiting a couple of them. And I'll go crazy for food here in St. Louis. And they have some great dessert. And I love frozen custard. And I like Ted Drew's, but I also like to just go to Lion's Choice and get a cheap frozen custard cone. And there's so many other ones. There's this one place in St. Charles I went to. It's called Lion's, and I can't remember where it's at. It's right next to one of the libraries in St. Charles. What's it called? But either way, they have great frozen custard. There's so many great frozen custard places in town. I feel so fortunate. Anywhere I go, I find myself enjoying myself. I love it. So just one more place to try, a gooey butter cake ice cream is going to be my next thing. Here's another thing I was going to talk about. I don't watch the show Madam Secretary. If I remember correctly, the CBS show Madam Secretary came out, and it was before Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, and they just assumed she was going to win. And just like everyone else, they said, oh, it's a guaranteed shoe-in. There's no way she'll ever lose to Donald Trump. Oh, don't even get me started. So they ended up changing the plot of this show. And this is, I'm just basing this off of memory. I don't have a full encyclopedia knowledge of CBS's Madam Secretary, but they kind of changed the trajectory of the show a little bit. It's in its final season and they're going bold. I saw this on Newsbusters. They did a little write-up on this. Madam Secretary, allowing free speech on YouTube, quote, leads to white nationalism. So they used their off-brand name of YouTube on there. They call it something else, but you know what they're talking about. And it's apparently, so the plot of this is it's a Hillary Clinton-like female president and all the different struggles and problems that she had to overcome, whatever. So they go down this fantasy if Hillary Clinton was president, just, you know, they tried to manifest it and that didn't work. But, you know, they kept on with the charade in TV form, at least. So on November 10th's episode called Deepfake, concerns of a video portraying her and her husband insulting the South Korean president is fake. And then they talk about different videos that are shared online when it comes to that YouTube, but they call it not YouTube. They call it something else. But they say, obviously, when people are allowed to use free speech online, it leads to white nationalism. Here, listen to the argument they set up on this show.
What's going on? Well, another video?
No. But once I searched for it on your vid, the algorithm started auto-playing.
Oh, they call it your vid instead of YouTube. Your vid.
All these other paranoid videos.
Yeah, Illuminati, flat earthers, all classics.
Well, it starts with the crazy Project Phalanx stuff, which brings in the people who are already suspicious of big institutions. And then it starts validating all of their views, playing one video after another.
You know, the hypocrisy of all of this, because they're going on and they're saying, oh, look at that. It's just it just leads you down the rabbit hole, which it does. I mean, I've been on YouTube. I know how it works. I know when you watch one video, it recommends other ones that you may be interested in. But here's a couple of interesting ideas that I'm going to throw at you before I play the rest of this clip. Number one, is it YouTube's obligation to try to shove a different point of view down your throat if they feel like they don't like the point of view you're getting? And is that really their discretion? Is that really they're the ones, the arbitrator of the things you should see and shouldn't see if you're out there seeking whatever that may be? Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, I would argue that it's a much more dangerous thing when you look at the mainstream news networks that are out there, like CNN and MSNBC and to some extent even the evening news, the way that they cover certain things. I would argue that they're doing a much bigger job of shoving these things and only showing one side. That, you know, you don't have to try to go to the internet and say you're trying to push people to white nationalism. I'm saying that you're just as guilty, the mainstream media, you're just as guilty of doing this. You don't have any obligation to show any sign, but you still call yourself news. That's the hypocrisy of it all. All right, so let me back up here.
It starts validating all of their views, playing one video after another, and somehow it all leads to white nationalism.
A pot of gold at the end of the extremist rainbow.
Yeah. You know, Chelsea Weld.
White nationalism, the pot of gold at the end of the extremist. Hold on, what does he say?
And somehow it all leads to white nationalism.
A pot of gold at the end of the extremist rainbow.
The extremist rainbow.
Yeah.
So this is the Hillary Clinton character with her husband in bed, talking about how the YouTube, whatever they call it on that show, leads to a extremist, what is it?
Pot of gold at the end of the extremist rainbow.
Yeah, that's what it is, a pot of gold at the extremist rainbow.
Yeah.
It's a little bit insulting if you think about it.
You know, Chelsea Weldon says that your vid is a neutral platform, but the way it's set up, it just keeps feeding you more and more poison. You never see anything that offers another point of view. It doesn't want you to.
How do they justify it? What is the rationale?
Russell says that their philosophy is fight bad speech with good speech. But how? If the algorithm only lets you hear one kind of speech.
Well, it's funny because they're trying to make it sound like it's all this white nationalist stuff. And of course, they have their own agenda on a show like that, that they base off of Hillary Clinton and her point of view as if she was president. But what have we looked at social media in general, and what have they done? What have they done? It's not that they're trying to go out there and protect people that have a certain extreme point of view. What we find is that they go out there and then they try to minimize or take away people that have conservative points of views, and they call it white nationalism. They call it, oh, here he is, just another Nazi video. Here's another hate speech video. Here's another this and that and da-da-da-da-da. So they'll label these things, and then they'll either discourage it or hide it altogether. It's funny that a very left-leaning television show like this that follows the, you know, fake Hillary Clinton presidency would go out there and make it sound like these tech companies are out there and they're just propagating this type of material when they're ultimately discouraging it and they're trying to only push the other side through. They're just pushing the other side through. It's their side. So it's pretty ridiculous if you think about it. Allowing, and I love how they say the title here from Newsbusters, allowing free speech on YouTube, quote, leads to white nationalism, end quote. Ah, man, so much hypocrisy in one episode. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America for one last time. I am letting you know, you can always tweet at me, at Ryan Recker. And Greg, if you're still listening, I wanted to mention this real quick. I'm not seeing your tweets, so this is what happens sometimes. You can create a Twitter account, and you cannot confirm it. Right? So you don't have to put an email address with it or anything like that to confirm. Some people create these things just to, you know, burn and say something terrible online. And then, you know, there's no repercussions because it's not associated with you as in with an email or whatever. All of those are just automatically filtered out. So depending on how you registered that Twitter account, I think that's why I'm not seeing your Twitter messages. I think that's why. I think you have to confirm your account before I see anything. And I should also note that anyone else that tweets at me, I always appreciate that. We can always have conversations that way, at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA. I am going through a couple of the different things on the wire, and it's kind of interesting to see what happened in today in history. And sometimes people just kind of focus on what the birthdays were in today in history. I can tell you, I saw something pop up today in history that I have no memory of. And this is something I think I would remember. So November 12th, 2001. Now think of this. It's September 11th was just like 2 months before that. It says 18 years ago today, an American Airlines plane bound for the Dominican Republic crashed into a Queens neighborhood, shortly leaving New York's Kennedy Airport. 265 people were killed, including five on the ground. The residents were again jolted from the morning routines just like 2 months before on 9/11. How come I don't remember any of that? A plane crash in New York 2 months after 9/11? How come I don't remember? Honestly, were we still in shock of what happened that day and we weren't paying attention, or this was treated as more as a local thing than a national thing? But you think this is a, you know, a plane crash is a big national story. How come I don't remember that? Wow. I feel like I either have some issues, or you find that sometimes people wonder if we're living in an alternate universe and some of these things were switched out. Let's talk about some of that Miss Madame President movie, TV show or whatever, saying that down the rabbit hole. Here we go, down the rabbit hole. You know, yesterday, I wanted to repeat this in case you missed the show last night. Guess what is going to be coming back onto television? Oh, I think you know what might be coming back to television. Doobah-doo-wah, doobah-doo-wah. I'm pretty excited for this one, actually. Boom, ba-doom, boom, 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 ba-doom, boom.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, there's a interview Kelsey Grammer was teasing that he is this close to getting his show rebooted. We don't know where. We don't know when. We don't know much about who's returning. I don't think they know much of the details to begin with.
What is the boy to do?
What is the boy to do? So Frasier was a very popular show in the 90s leading up into the early 2000s. I think it ended in 2004. And I don't think there's been a television show about a radio station that has been as impactful. I think this was even better than WKRP in Cincinnati because it lasted a lot longer. And it was one of the highest rated shows at the time. And I mean, everyone, I think a lot of people watched it. It was very classy. It was funny. You know, they're going to coffee houses. It was funny. The humor was really entertaining. I thought it was great. And I'm watching through some of the old episodes now on Netflix and enjoying it. So now we find out that apparently they're this close to getting it financed. And the way they make it sound like is they could start recording at the, you know, the spring of 2020. And by the end of 2020, the end of summer, that they could start releasing some of these episodes. This is what I'm crossing my fingers for. Netflix picks this thing up. Now, that's a money grab. I would love to see everyone involved get their money for this show because it is well worth it. Going back and watching David Hyde Pierce, who played his brother Niles, he has some of the best physical comedy I've ever seen on television. I don't know why he didn't get the recognition he deserved for all that comedy. His physical nature to it all was just so fantastic. He put so much effort into it. I'd love to interview him. But if they bring this back, you better believe it. I hope he's still doing radio, and I hope he's not podcasting. This is what he said in his interview.
Visit to Frasier and Frasier's world is I think, definitely going to come.
Ooh, that's what he said. I think it's definitely going to come. So they asked some questions about it.
Without revealing too many details, what will it be about?
Well, you know, it's still his search for love, for one thing. You know, I think that'll always go on with Frasier. But a connection with his son.
When do you think it starts?
Spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you think...
The airtime?
Probably
late summer next year.
Late summer next year.
I would guess.
Maybe. That's quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's ready to go. We just got to sort of staff it and find somebody who wants to give us money for it.
I mean, that's probably not that difficult.
Oh, who knows? You never know. I mean, the business is funny. It's a funny world, but...
The business is a funny world. We're talking about one of the most popular shows in the 90s. How does a streaming service not pick up on that? How do they not just throw money at them? Imagine if the characters of Friends got together and said, oh, we'd be willing to put some episodes together, you know, a limited run on Netflix. You know what Netflix would do? They would give them anything they wanted to do that because they realize just how valuable that is. This is also, if Friends, let's just say, is the number one TV show of the 90s, like them in Seinfeld, you know, number one, number two. Frasier's easily a top 10. Why wouldn't you throw some money at them? So let's hope that happens. And we need more radio TV shows out there because I just think it's entertaining because, yes, it's my field. And there hasn't been a good one since Frasier left the building. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. Again, you can follow along on Twitter at Ryan Recker. I'll be back again tomorrow night. And let's hope the weather turns a little bit better for tomorrow, too, so we don't have to worry about too much of this traveling that's going down. We'll see you later. And enjoy the replay hours. We've got the next couple of them on KMOX.
With the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. Don't wanna spend another night alone, sleeping with
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.